We are thankful to the Almighty God for the opportunity to worship this day. We're thankful for all of you for being here. As Brother Rick said in his Bible class, you've made, and we all have made, decisions already today. We made decisions what we will wear, where we will go, what we will think, how we will respond. And I hope, trust, and pray that as you all walk to this building, and it's a good number, the middle section, that's great, is starting to fill up. That's good. The middle is a good place. Amen. But one of the things that's so important is I hope, trust, and pray that we've decided when you walk in, you see someone, that you speak. We're dealing with some practical things this year already because it's simplicity. Jesus taught simple parables that folks could relate to for a higher spiritual purpose. And today we want to just jump right in and focus in on a few basic things today. One being a fullness. We're going to talk about fullness. It's a pivot from last week's lesson, and our lesson text comes to us from John chapter 15. John, the 15th chapter, and the verses 11. Jesus speaking, "These things I write have I spoken unto you, that my," I would underscore that or highlight that in my Bible. See, Jesus says, "I have joy." He said, "My joy," possessive pronoun. See, man can make you happy, man can make you sad. Nothing like the joy of Jesus. It's ever present. And one of the things I'll give you some key words you can put on the shelf today. We're going to talk about behavior. We're going to talk about joy. We're going to talk about full and empty, if you will. I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to be aware of this. Jesus says, "My joy." And for all the single folks out there, you don't marry somebody for them to be your true joy. It may be your true love. Amen. But if you have joy, if you have the joy of Jesus, you're going to select very carefully. You're not going to settle for anything. Don't make me switch my lesson today. I try to help you all with some of the practical things. A simple amen, and then I move on. But when you all look at me and turn your head like Benji, then I got to stay there a little bit. "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you." The word "might" is important because the harsh reality, and this one's going to hurt, the sad reality is, and I'm talking about Christians, there are too many Christians that lack joy. And I'm going to prove it to you in a minute, scripturally. We know the people in the world, and it's okay not to be okay. We all go through challenges. We all go through valleys. But Jesus says, "I hope my joy might remain in you." And I believe what Jesus says. He's saying, you will go through things, but I spoke to you. I'm telling you that my joy might remain in you, and that, look at the next possessive pronoun, your joy might be full. Might means there's a chance it won't be. Jesus was a very intentional, deliberate, purposeful teacher. So once we recognize that I want the joy that Jesus provides, and then it becomes my joy. Because that's why it's called personal evangelism. See, when I live my life and do what I need to do based on the joy that Jesus provides, I then enhance other people's lives. "Let your light so shine before the world that men can see your good works and glorify God." You see how that works? It's like the relay when Rick and I ran track back in Ohio. You know, you got the baton and you pass it on to somebody else, but you're on the same team. So recognizing that Jesus has joy that he provides, he wants his joy to remain in us. And then he wants our joy to be full. Get rid of these cliches. "Well, I'm a glass half full kind of girl. I'm a glass half full kind of brother." You know what? I'm full. Three key points today. That's your little teaser. Now, here's our three points. Full and empty, we're going to contrast it. Very succinctly, that's the word for today. Y'all like that? You know, looking it up succinctly. Does that mean short sermon? Maybe, maybe not. Full and empty, we're going to contrast it. Know the contents, good and bad. Know the contents on what's inside. Then we're going to just deal with fullness. Let's jump into it. Intentionality, just a reminder from last week, we talked about intentionality. And this is not new for if you were here last week, but this is a reminder to everyone. To be intentional means to be deliberate, to be purposeful. Deliberate, purposeful, and it's not by accident. You all didn't just say, oh, by the way, I got up, got dressed. You just appear here by accident. You were intentional. You were deliberate. Thank you for that. We deliberately sometimes speak to people. We deliberately sometimes don't. You ever been mad at somebody didn't speak to them? Let me look at the clock. Got one amen, one honest person in here today. And maybe it wasn't about speaking. Maybe you got mad and you said something to someone that you should not say. We are very deliberate people. We don't give ourselves enough credit. You deliberately, you know, if you chose to stay in the bed today, you did that deliberately. You say, when I hit this, I stepped on my slipper and I fell in the bed, but I couldn't get up. And I'm not talking about those who are certainly dealing with physical challenges. I would never minimize or, you know, lighten that. I'm talking about folks who are able. So our lessons thus far this year, and look at these verbs. I highlighted them this week. Just to make sure you're clear on the verb. Stop talking about what you need to do and get to work. Dismiss. Note the verbs. Dismiss doubt in your life. Get out of my life, doubt. I'm not going to doubt myself in 2022. I'm not going to doubt myself. And many of you know from time to time, and I did, it was all day Friday, I interview kids for scholarships. I'm part of a team that does that. And we interviewed 14 kids on Friday. We're going to keep everything general to protect the innocent. But it was amazing seeing kids with a 5-point-whatever GPA and seeing these kids cry before you because of what's going on in their lives. And one particular young lady said, I just doubt myself. I said, have you been doubted? Yeah. My mom doubts me. My dad doubts me. Dad's not in the home. And so that is causing this young lady doubt. And I said, look at you on paper. And I tried, I got her to smile. It took some time. I said, look at you on paper. I said, you are bad. And I had to explain bad. She's like, I'm not bad. No, I'm not bad. I'm urban. And she smiled. I said, look at you. And brothers and sisters and visiting friends, get rid of doubt. It will hold you back, but also recognize when you doubt, it has an impact on others. This young lady, senior in high school, doing extremely well academically, and just crying because those that she loves were doubting themselves, doubting her. When you doubt, it's going to have an impact on you and those around you. Stop talking. Do. Dismiss. Doubt. Next verb, recognize. Be aware. Be alert. Don't be aloof. It's like you're sitting somewhere and bees are swarming. You're like, do you all hear anything? Don't be aware of what's going on around you. So recognize to be double-minded, unstable, wavering. This is all a review because I want us to be mindful of this year. Leads to stagnation. You will go nowhere when you're just spinning, spinning, spinning. You're going to get tired. You're going to get worn out. Dismiss doubt. Stop talking. Do. Dismiss doubt. Recognize. One more verb for you. Stay full. But let me put an asterisk. I should have put an asterisk on that because make sure you know what you're full of. You keep it right there because that's where I'm going to stay today. Everybody all right? Your verbs. Stop. Dismiss. Recognize. But remain, stay, another word for stay is remain. Have you heard that word before? Jesus just used it in John 15 and 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain, stay in you, and that your joy might be full. I just quoted a scripture we just read. So in order to do that, let me just take you back, put it all on the screen for you. What is joy? It's to be delighted. It's an internal gladness that remains consistent in every situation. I'm not happy all the time. You're not happy all the time, but our joy can be ever present. I will keep hitting that nail. Joy is not happiness, but happiness can be related to joy. See, when you're joyous, you're going to walk around. That person, you just always seem so happy. Yeah, I get down just like all of you. But I got to bounce. You got to bounce back from that. You got to pivot from that. Any of you ever played a sport? Can you imagine somebody that fumbled the ball and they're like, their head's down the rest of the season? You need to go sit on the bench. You're no good for the team. So I will coach you up today, and please understand, as a gospel preacher, what I say, it hit here first. It's already hit me. I've been convicted 5 times through this lesson, just studying and putting these slides up for your convenience. Joy is that gladness, that delight, that internal delight. How can you still speak to her after all of that? How can you still go ahead and do your job with a boss that treats you like that? Because I got an internal joy, and he's not my focus. She's not my focus. God is my focus. That's how you get through it. They teach players in football how to tackle. You don't just go to the man and stop and then grab him and hope I can tackle Lindsay. But if he keeps running, I'm going to let go of him. I got to run through the man. And so we got to see beyond the person. Quit focusing your life on circumstances, because you will be eternally unhappy. Can I talk to y'all like this? You may call this lesson a little tough love, but it's coming. And so now, because joy is related, that Greek word chara is related to charis, grace. We talked about this last week. Grace, that charis, you can write that down, C-H-A-R-I-S. That's the Greek word for grace, charis. So because of grace, we can have chara. Did y'all get that? Charis, grace, leads to chara, joy. What is grace? At favorable regard, we got something we did not deserve. We are presented with an occasion to delight. So every day God gives us, we have an opportunity to be saved, opportunity to be better, opportunity to teach somebody the gospel. And because of that, did any of us deserve today? Did any of us deserve January 23rd, 2022? You don't even have to answer that out loud, because none of us deserve today. But now think about that. If we didn't deserve today, didn't deserve this moment, and we've already made decisions today not to glorify God, already made decisions today not to fellowship, I'm telling you, there's a joy problem, and even in the church. There's a joy issue. There's a deficiency of joy. And how do you know that? By the way people act. And it's going to be very interesting. The more we teach you all on behavioral patterns, and we're being very intentional from this pulpit, because you can look at me, and I'll just use an example, keep it general. From yesterday, I was talking to a dear sister, faithful sister in Christ, faithful wife to her husband. They're both here today as well. And she said, you know what? You do so much stuff. I said, sister, when you see me get tired, let me know. And we just laughed. She knows who it is. And I said, I get more energized the more I do. And brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about just me in particular. I'm talking about that's the beauty of serving God. The more we do, the more excited it should be. So now let's go ahead. 3 basic points. Y'all ready for the 3 key points? It's like, brother, I thought you were already into it. No, I'm getting you ready. You got to season before you cook. So everybody's seasoned up on joy and grace. We didn't deserve today. It's God's grace. Titus 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's Titus chapter 2, verse 11. So because we recognize God's grace, I love seeing people take notes. Titus 2 and verse 11, write that down. See, because of God's grace, we have reason to delight. God gives us occasion to delight. Have you ever heard the phrase, opportunity knocks? I have seen so many people lose jobs because they never applied for the job. Lose opportunities because they didn't speak to that person who could have hired them. We are being interviewed all the time, young people. And even some of you more seasoned folks. We've been interviewed all the time. Let me move on. Here's our first point of 3. Y'all ready? 10:59. I'll be out of this pulpit by 11:22. Here we go. That's been very intentional, so y'all don't mess with me, and I can get this done. That's big talk. My kids are like, let's see. Full and empty contrasted. Reminds me of growing up in Toledo, Ohio, and going to the gas station. We called them a service station, Lindsay. And that used to be full service. I don't know what that is now. People actually pump your gas for you and even clean your windshield. You try to tell somebody to do that right now, you may have a fight pulling into Chevron. If you're empty, you can only go so far. As a matter of fact, you won't go very far. You get little alerts in your car when you're, you know, again, when you got maybe a few more miles left because the tank's getting empty. We understand full and empty. I want to give you metaphorically in the gas station context. When you're full, you can go further. But it goes even deeper than that. Emptiness and fullness. Let's contrast this, if you will. See, we can be full or empty. Everybody in here and everybody in the sound of my voice. We can be full or empty, but emptiness and fullness behave differently. Emptiness will invite other things to come inside. Emptiness will invite other things to come inside. If your immune system is compromised, you have no defense mechanism on the inside. And let's just say, and as I look out and say this in the midst of an audience that's got masks on, why do we take vitamins? Why do we, you know, why do I make what I call at home my little flu shot with some ginger and some orange and apple and lemon? And you're drinking this and you feel that ginger burn. Why do we do that? Why do we fill up with that every day? To build up, not to invite infection, not to invite a virus. Why are some vaccinated? Your individual choice. I'm triple vaxxed. Because I don't want to invite anything I don't want inside of me. Emptiness invites other things to come inside. Jesus used this exact lesson. Matthew chapter 12. Let's begin reading at about verse number 43. And I'm going to put it on the screen for your for my time's sake and for your benefit. But let me just tell you, so obviously the opposite of emptiness is fullness. Fullness leaves no room. Fullness leaves no room. Emptiness invites other things to come inside. And I'm going to give you a practical example. Well, let me get everything right in my life. Let me garnish my life very nicely. And I'm working on this, working on that. But you know what? You're inviting other stuff to come inside. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse number 43, the Bible says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man. So Jesus is talking about when a demon-possessed man, based on the power of God, when that evil spirit is gone out of a man. That evil spirit walketh through dry places, seeking rest, trying to find a home, and he findeth none. Then he saith, the evil spirit, I will return into my house from whence or from where I came out. And when he is come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. What we do, I hear it all the time. Well, I know I should be there. I know I should do this. But you know what? I'm just trying to get some things right. We got people living in this world trying to get a lot of things right. Notice the words, trying to get a lot of things right. And God has given us the antidote, the remedy. Don't ever, and let me tell you something. Seeing the family yesterday, and we pray, hope for you and your family. We love you, sister. Funeralized her son yesterday. And don't you tell me that hug, when I hugged Hope yesterday at that cemetery in front of that casket and told her that Bell legacy is strong here. So many have been baptized into Christ because of Mama's legacy. And there's things we can do. We can text people. We can call people. Nothing wrong with that at all. But, you know, every now and then we just need a hug. Don't let COVID cause us to lose our soul on fellowship. Anybody here ever needed a hug? Just say amen if you ever needed a hug. Now, if you're the type where you're like, just stay away from me, you really need a hug. COVID's going to cause people to lose their soul. I'm not talking about just losing their life, and we pray God nobody does, but we know we've had so many. But we got to be mindful. This empty house invited something to come in. You've already read it, I'm sure, but let me make the practical point that Jesus is making. So if anything that's ugly is trying to find a place to land, and we don't even have to preach this too hard because a virus is looking for emptiness. Vaccinated, bang, or you may get it, but I can't be fully stretch out with the evil and the infection that I want to because you got some defense. Let me go somewhere where it's not. There's very little defense. Just the way the devil operates. Then he goeth, taketh unto himself. Not, watch this. So when you got some foolishness, it actually multiplies. Watch this. The variant. You take one, and now he found seven others more wicked than himself, And what do? They enter that empty house and dwell there. Now, what's the state? He's not talking about state as in Florida. We're talking about the word condition. And the last state or condition of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, if you keep your house empty, you're inviting something to come in. We need to be full. Amen? Point two of three. Look at this. Know the contents. Know the contents. What's going on inside of you? And you know what? Let me go ahead and tell you what I'm going to say later on. I'll say it now. I'll probably say it three more times. You know what's going on the inside based on how you act. I can look at someone, I can hear somebody talking and say, that sister right there is tormented. That brother right there is not happy. We think we put on a good show. You can just look at how somebody acts, how they respond, how they behave, and you know what's going on inside. How does somebody that's full of joy act? How does somebody that's full of joy look? Those are your huggers. And if you, you don't have to be extroverted and, you know, hugging everybody. Some people are like, well, I'm not a hugger. Does that mean I'm not full of joy? I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is a smile on your face, acknowledging. If somebody compliments you, you put your head on, you're like, thank you. Thank God. We're open books. What are we full of? The Bible's not silent. Oh, you're going to see. I can't exhaust it. I may even have to call an audible for time's sake. Since I put that time out there, I hate that I said that. Y'all may have to forgive me. What are we full of? See, we can be full of good stuff or bad stuff. And I've already said it. Our behavior tells on us. You know Christians lie sometimes. But somebody said all the time. Don't preach my lesson now. We shouldn't be lying all the time. It should not be, we can lie. We will sin. And so stop all this smiling. See what I'm doing? That forced smile. And you are tormented. It's better for you to say, brother, please pray for me. Sister, please pray for me. Can we pray right now? I'm going through something. Can we pray right now so we can be better? Can I come see you? Y'all know anybody like that? As we look at the Word of God today, let's deal with contents, good or bad. Let's start with the stuff that's not so good. Y'all ready? Let's go to Acts chapter 13. We're going to hasten through some of these. Acts chapter 13. Y'all forget that time reference I made. Acts chapter 13. Looked at the clock. I don't know what's happening. Acts chapter 13. I need to get you to a point today before we pick this up at another time. Acts chapter 13. I'll have the brothers read some. I'll read some for time's sake. Acts chapter 13, Lenny, beginning at verse number 9. Acts the 13th chapter, beginning at verse number 9. See, what are we full of? There's bad content, there's good content. Listen to the Bible. Read. And then Saul, who also is called Paul, read.
Filled with the Holy Ghost.
Filled with the Holy Ghost.
Set his eyes on him.
Set his eyes on him. That him that Paul set his eyes on was a sorcerer that was speaking against the word of God. Read.
And said, O full of all subtlety.
And now Saul, who was also called Paul, said to Elymas the sorcerer, you know, his name by interpretation, verse 8, he said, O full of all subtlety. Hold your point right there. In the very beginning, in the book of beginnings, Genesis, the serpent is more subtle than all the beasts of the field. You know, I know what subtlety is. It can be that smile. How you doing? You got a subtle brother. You know, how you doing? Subtle sister. See, it's manipulation for secondary gain. I'm using some psychological terms now, but I got to go ahead and break this down behaviorally. You can say something, do some things, and act a certain way to manipulate. That's the devil. That's why he's called the deceiver. That is, when we seek to deceive people, it is devilish. Paul looked right at him, and you got to tell people straight up. The Bible says in Acts 13 and 9, verse 10 rather, O full of all subtlety, come on.
And all mischief.
And all mischief. My grandmama called that, yo, devilish little grandson. Yo, devilish. Anybody grandma talk like that? I'm going to beat the devil out of you. That's what my grandmama would say. Like, beat the devil out of me. What a devil. But it's how we acted. Beat the devil out of you. I heard that more than Rick. I don't know why that happened. Read, brother.
Thou child of the devil.
Look, see, Paul called it out. Now, I want you to be tactful today, but you need to lovingly, honestly, transparently let people know you're hip to the game. Let me translate that you know what they're doing. Quit playing games with people in your life. Brother, sister, I love you, but you know you're telling a lie. Brother, sister, I love you, but you've been doing that. You just said this. Brother, sister, why didn't you speak to me? You look right in my eye and didn't speak to me, cut your eyes at me, and then you spoke to the plant over here. The plant came and talked back. Is there something wrong? You see what we did? We have to call people out. I'm not saying we got fights in the hallway. Don't you do that. Is everybody clear? When you do that, you're going to expose the devil. You're going to expose devilish behavior and watch how people act. When they avoid you for the rest of their life, you know what you're dealing with. When someone says, you know what, and again, I was talking to sister, I had lunch with sister yesterday. I was sitting in the fellowship hall, and thank y'all for serving yesterday. I'll get to that in a minute. I was just talking to her. I called her my homegirl. I was just talking to her. I said, you know, I appreciate our relationship. But there was a time we sat across the table from one another, and she fighting mad. And we dealt with it straight up, tight to this day. Quit beating around the bush, if you will, and be more intentional. Amen? Because I had to teach that a little stronger, that adds 5 more minutes to my time. So you're full of all subtlety. He's full of bad content. All subtlety, you're a deceiver. Mischief, you're just trying to hurt people. Thou child of the devil. Come on.
Thou enemy of all righteousness.
The enemy of all righteousness.
Will thou not cease to prevent the right ways of the Lord?
Will you not stop? Will you not cease to pervert, to change, and twist the right ways of the Lord? So there's folks who want to twist the word of God. That's why any church won't do. Got to keep on hustling. Got to keep going here. Acts 19 and verse 28. I'm going to alternate with the brothers for time's sake. Acts chapter 19 and verse 28. Get away from me in Romans 1. Acts chapter 19 and the verse is number 28. Y'all all right? Let's see what these people are full of. Acts 19 verse 28. And when they heard these sayings, they heard the word of God. They were full of wrath. They were full of wrath. That doesn't mean a hugging somebody. That means you are angry to the point of action. When the word of God is taught, you hear the truth. If it's making you mad, you are not full of the right things. See, if you hear the word of God, and if you're a liar, and you hear the Bible talking about stop lying, and you get mad, you ain't full of joy. When you see yourself like Peter did, when Jesus in Luke 5 yesterday, we talked about it. He said, Lord, I'm a sinner. See, when you see yourself, that's a whole different. See, it's got to land on fertile ground, a penitent heart. Not that, you know, some people just wait to listen to respond. You got to make sure you listen so that you can understand. Amen. All of us need to do that. When they heard these things, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, great is Diana of the Ephesians. They didn't say praise God. They said, great is Diana, because they were making money. I have to give you quick context. They were making money selling Diana figurines, like having a little flea market, selling statues of Diana. And they made good money. Then the brothers came over there and taught the gospel, saying, get rid of that foolishness. Diana's not the goddess you should serve. She's just a woman. And they were full of wrath. Y'all still with me? I got to hasten on now. So full of subtlety, full of mischief, full of evil, full of wrath. You don't want to be full of this. Let me give you a couple more. Romans chapter 1. This one's going to really hurt. Romans chapter 1. When I say hurt, I don't mean that in a bad way. I'm talking about teaching the truth. Because you got people right now that are full of so much love. I put love in quotes now. That you will just accept anything. Because see, if we are so loving, and there are religious institutions that are so full of love, that we will never speak out against any lifestyle. Because God is love. Well, let me tell you something. I love my kids. That's why I got to redirect, discipline, and also provide for them. God will redirect us with his word. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. I'll just let the Bible speak. Let's see what these folks are full of in Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse number 26. Go and start reading, Gail.
For this cause. God gave them up unto vile affections.
God gave them up to vile affections. Vile means detestable. So we can actually lust after things that are detestable. We can love vile affection. We can lust after things that, if something's vile, if something smells vile, you don't want to be around it. Listen to the Bible. Come on.
For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature.
So the Bible says, Romans 1 and verse 26, that God gave them up. See, God's not going to stop us and make us stop. You can be the biggest liar in the world. God's like, if that's, because God does, see, it would be no need for faith if God made us obey him. Did y'all get that? If God says, you will bow down and worship me. God's like, no, I gave you my son. I gave you a reason, an occasion to delight by giving you something you didn't deserve. It's called grace. But yet, we take our flexibility, our liberty. The Bible says, for this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. What did these women do? Verse 27.
And likewise also the men.
And likewise the same thing. Men did something that was against nature. Likewise also the men, come on.
Leaving the natural use of the woman.
What is the natural use of a woman? I'm going to keep this at the adult level. Genesis chapter 1 and about verse 18, God said it's not good that man should be alone. I, God, will make for him a helpmeet. God made a woman. If God said a man would be good for a man, then Adam's right there, he would have made Steve. I'm sorry, Steve. But now, again, but this is not, people don't want to hear this. You old hate-mongering preacher standing up there talking about that. Why don't you just preach on love and let us get up out of here? I am talking about love. I'm teaching you the truth from the Bible. So you can read this for yourself. Don't lie on the God I serve. The Bible says God gave them up to vile affections, detestable lust. Women left the natural use, and likewise men left the natural use. Come on, here it is, more specifically.
Burn in their lusts one toward another.
Burning with men, burning in their lusts one toward another. Come on.
Men with men.
Men with men. Steve can't do nothing for Adam, and Steve was not made for Adam. Adam, God made Eve for him. These kids need to be taught the truth. Now, lying, drunkenness, homosexuality, we're not going to make one sin bigger than the rest. They're all sin. For the benefit of those that are online and for the benefit of everybody, it's all sin. You got somebody over here lying, being evil, not speaking to somebody, saying, oh, that homosexuality is sin. Well, you're in sin too. Let us be clear. Amen? Don't get this big sin, small sin stuff. That's like somebody saying, that's a white-collar crime. I didn't wear a white shirt today. That's a white-collar crime because they're stealing money, but they're in a suit and in corporate America. It's still a stealing. And Rollo stealing from the penny candy store, and you in a blue Brooks Brothers suit stealing and a white shirt. It's still stealing. Add 5 more minutes for that good point. Read.
Working that which is unseemly.
Women with women, men with men, working that which is unseemly. The word unseemly means unfitting. Come on.
And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat.
And receiving in themselves, God's going to punish the individuals that recompense. That word recompense means you will be repaid for of their error. And error, you get an error message on a computer. Something is wrong. Don't tell me in the justifications, God knows my heart. Yes, he does. And his word says, unnatural, vile, unseemly. And they will receive repayment for their error, which was meet. The word meet means fitting. See, you do the crime, you will definitely do the spiritual time. But it gets even deeper and more specific. Read verse 29. Now, all this comes from being full of something. See, when you are not full of joy, when you're not full of truth, you're full of other stuff, this is your behavior shows. So now the Bible showed us the behavior. Now what are they full of? Read Romans chapter 1, beginning verse 29. 20. Come on.
And even as they did
not. No, Romans chapter 1, verse 29. Being filled
with all unrighteousness.
With all don't you change it. Trying to get out of here in time. Being filled with all unrighteousness.
Fornication.
Wickedness.
Covetousness.
You want what you don't have.
Maliciousness.
Malice means you were trying to hurt somebody. Maliciousness.
Full of envy.
You ain't happy because other people are joyous. Read.
Murder.
You want to hurt somebody to the point of taking their life. Read.
Debate.
So debate, not in the context. You're talking contentious. You always want to argue. Read.
Deceit.
It ain't, no, it's not white or black. It's actually gray. Stay out of that foolishness. Read.
Malignity.
Now, if somebody tells you that you got a malignant tumor that is toxic, that can take your life, it's got to come out. Versus benign. Everybody with me? Lord, have mercy. Come on, son.
Whisperers.
Whisperers. Stop talking about that gossip, foolish. You in sin. Come on.
Backbiters.
Backbiters. Haters of God. Despiteful. Proud. Boasters. Inventors of evil things. Making up stuff. Disobedient to parents. In the same context as homosexuality. Same context as murder. Same context as envy. Y'all all right? Can I extend the lesson? Lord have mercy. Some of y'all... I got it, Charles. Lord, have mercy. Without understanding. See, when you say things like, God knows my heart to justify sin, you don't understand. You don't understand. You're just saying stuff. Love is love. You're just talking. You don't understand. But you understand this? How dare you to impose on me? Now, I'm not going to impose on you. I'm just teaching. Because, see, God didn't impose. He gave them up unto their vile affections. Verse 32, who knowing the judgment of God. I'm sorry, verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable. You can't even talk to you. Unmerciful. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death. Spiritual separation from God. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You get it? That's all bad content. You don't want to be full of any of that stuff. Do Christians have envy? Yeah, we better get rid of that. Do Christians have covet things? We better get rid of that. So the question is, what are you full of? Jesus says, I hope my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. You don't notice none of this stuff. You ain't got somebody full of joy living in sin. Emptiness invites. Fullness leaves no room. Can we spend a few minutes on fullness? Thank you for that. Thank you for responding. 2 John chapter 1. Come on. 2 John chapter 1. 2 John chapter 1. Beginning at verse number 6. Say amen when you get there. 2 John chapter 1. Beginning at verse number 6. I'll just take one with me. I just need two or three. 2 John chapter 1. Beginning at verse 6. I won't even wait on you. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is love, that we walk after his commandments. That as ye have heard from the beginning, ye should walk in it. Watch this now. For many deceivers are entered into the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. There are people and there are teachings that oppose Christ. This is antichrist, not some one big monster coming out of the ocean. Oh, that's the antichrist. Anything that opposes God is antichrist. Notice that's not a proper noun there. People try to turn it into put a capital A on antichrist. No. Deceivers, plural. That speak against Christ. That's antichrist. Amen. Got to move on. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, that we've worked on, but that we receive a full what? A full reward. I'm looking for, see, I'm not glass half empty. A full reward. God's not going to pay you just for your part-time work. Full reward for eternal life. Full reward. Watch the contrast here. Emptiness, and we're on the good side now. This is the content we want. We work for a full reward. Let me talk to the parents for a minute. Yesterday, it got to me, Hope, on so many levels. Because I saw so many, as I looked out in this middle section here where the family was sitting, many who had been baptized in this congregation. Many who know the word of God. I mean no harm with this because I'm family talking to family. Lindsay, you already know where I'm going, brother. It broke my heart. Because there are those that have come before us, Teresa. There are those that have come before us that sat in these seats. I think about Mama Bell and what she put in these kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. I think about Sister Lee and what she put in these kids. I think about a Barbara Baker. And I think about the parents that are here today. You invested in your children. When they couldn't walk, you helped them walk. When they couldn't eat, you either breastfed them, you made sure they ate. And now spiritually, sometimes parents leave their kids. Don't stop teaching. Your exampleship is what keeps your kids here. And to all the parents and the grandparents that are here, we have a responsibility. I looked at a video of me and Gail. We were at an event, And he's standing next to me. His whole man, I nodded my head, he nodded his head at the same time. I just fixed my jacket, he fixed his jacket at the same time. I said, look at this boy. He watching me. Look at old Brandon, Barry White, Nelson walk up here. Our scripture for today. Sound like me. Lexi and I, my daughter, take pictures. We put our faces together. I'm like, I put on some glasses. Take off her glasses. Like, she look like me. She better. Amen. All I'm saying is this. Second John, John just says, you put so much work in to get to this point. Why stop now? Because there's a full reward waiting on us in the end. Y'all all right? Let me just give you a couple more. Hebrews chapter 6. Let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Very quickly. Philippians chapter 4. You still with me? All right. Oh, there are about four of you. I'm losing some of y'all. Philippians chapter 4. Select verses. I got to dry, brothers, for time's sake. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse number 12. I'm just going to start reading till you get there. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full, and I'm taught to be what? Full. And to be hungry. Just because when we're full of joy, we still hunger and thirst after righteousness. When I'm full of joy, I'm still looking to perfect my craft. When you're full of energy, you still want to do more work. You see, full and hungry. So you see, with that fullness, you got to keep working on that fullness. In about an hour, I will be full, God willing. I'm talking, I'll be full spiritually, but I want to be full. I want to eat something too. And give it some time. What happens? You want to eat again. Oh, y'all got it now. You got to work to remain full. It will not be automatic. Well, 50 years ago, I used to teach Bible class. What are you doing now? Amen. You got to keep working. You may not be able to do what you used to do, but you can still do something. Paul says, I know how to be abased. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound everywhere and in all things. Let me get back to my point here. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. He says in verse 13, a very familiar passage, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth or empowers me. Drop down to verse 18. Watch this. Philippians 4 and verse 18. Paul says, but I have received all and abound. I am full. Having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. We're talking about fellowship and helping one another. Brothers and sisters, there are so many people who just need a hug. Who need to sit down and talk to somebody. We cannot do everything virtually. We got to get out and we got to talk to people. That brother outside, I'm just going to say, that man outside is now our brother in Christ. We got a call from Texas. They said, we've heard about Miami Gardens. We're coming to visit. Can't wait for those brothers to get here. Amen. But my God, verse 19, shall supply all your needs according to the riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Ain't that something? That is the encouragement. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 6. Let's hasten on. Hebrews 6 and verse 11. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. I'm going to let y'all go after this. After one more after this. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 11. Hope you get the basic point. Fullness acts a certain way. Emptiness acts another way. We can be full of junk. And that behavior is going to show. Behavior is going to show. If you're full of shame, guilt, doubt, insecurity, it's going to show in the way you walk, the way you act, how you respond to people. Hebrews 6 and verse 11, brethren, read the Bible.
And we desire that every one of you do shew the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end.
And we desire. It is our prayer. On behalf of the eldership that's here today, on behalf of Brother Richard Nelson Forth, on behalf of myself, all our deacons, Brother Ferreras, Brother Baker, Brother Dowdell, Brother James, and all the saints here, it is our heartfelt desire that every member of this congregation, every member of this congregation, don't give up. That full tank of gas, I remember growing up, pulling that full service station, and we love hearing somebody say, fill her up. Fill her up. As you talk about filling up the tank, we can go the distance. We can take our journey. Making it to heaven is a journey. It's a journey. It's hard. Hebrews 6 and verse 11, the Bible says, we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence, deliberateness, intentionality to the what? Full assurance of hope. How long? Until the end. Don't give up now. Work until the end. After COVID, there will probably be something else. Can you imagine those that dealt with the Spanish flu? They thought that was it. Worst thing that ever happened. Look at us. We're almost back over 100 people here. Get to work. Amen. See, full joy. Thank you, Jesus. John 15, 11. Full assurance of hope. Hebrews chapter 6. Full reward that we've talked about in Scripture in Acts chapter 19. Full. Not half empty. What did the psalmist say? My cup runneth over. That's what we're going to need. You ever see you top off the tank? Your gas tank? And you know, you kind of just keep going until you that thing top of you. I want to make sure I got everything I can put in here. That should be our mentality. As we close for the final time. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 6. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Talking about that joy, that chara. Though now for a season, if need be, listen now, because this won't be just all a smooth and easy road. It's going to get tough. From 2020, give or take March 2020, until present day, it's been tough for people physically. It's been tough emotionally. I work with, you know, you all know I work in youth development, juvenile justice, social anxiety, depression, food insecurity. Been dealing with that, putting food in people's car, having the kids in their PJs and giving them diapers and all of that. It's been tough. But brothers and sisters, may we be mindful. May we be joyous. Is our behavior different now in the midst of what God has allowed? A global pandemic. But we still need to be full of joy. And say, I will do all I can while I can. We greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, manifold various temptations, that the trial of your faith, the trial of your faith, when somebody is on trial in the legal context, evidence is presented from the prosecutor and the defense. And so when we all stand before the judgment seat on high, the devil's going to say, oh, Tyrone Tins ain't nothing, but look at what he used to do. But God's going to say, but he met my son. He's a new man in Christ. Demetrius Allen is a new brother in Christ. But he still sinned. Yes, that's by the blood, but he repented of that sin. So the devil's going to keep throwing stuff at us. Don't allow that to wear us down where we start feeling empty, alone. The devil loves isolation. Because if you're empty and isolated, good God, what's going through your mind? Brothers and sisters, I've dealt with that on so many levels. It does not end well. There's a reason the Bible talks about in 1 John chapter 1. If we fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. It's an ongoing process. We need each other. You all may not realize, but every time I preach, I look out here and I see somebody nodding, writing notes, saying amen. That encourages my soul. Not that you got to respond audibly, because that's not required at all. But just knowing that this word of God is being received reminds me of our grandmama when she cooked some good food. She would just sit back and watch us eat. And some of y'all can relate to this. When she saw you eat, I said, Mom, you want anything? No, baby, she enjoyed watching us partake of that good food. And what we're saying to each of you today, receive the word of God. The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, we haven't seen Jesus in the flesh, we still love him. And whom though you see him not, yet we believe. Ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. So the more we do, we glorify God. When we see you, when you do what you need to do, when I do what I need to do, we're glorifying God. Full glory, full hope, full assurance, full reward. What did Jesus say? I hope my joy might remain in you and that your joy might remain full. Because what's the end? What's the drop the mic moment? right here, receiving the end of your faith. When your faith, when you don't give up, you keep running, you keep working. I don't care about COVID. I don't care about anything else. I want to focus on God. What did Paul say? I'm not saying this as if I have received, as if I have arrived, but I will press toward the mark of the high calling, high prize of Jesus, high prize in Jesus Christ. Look straight ahead. You show me somebody that's doubting, they're looking left and right. Show me somebody that's not confident, they're looking at the other team. There's a basketball team that's coming to town today. They're already in town. That's going to play the Heat tonight. Got a couple players, got LeBron. He's pretty good. When he warms up, he ain't never looking at, well, you know what, Kyle Lowry look a little tough tonight. He ain't even worried about Kyle Lowry. My point is, what can I do? And brothers and sisters, I pray to God that we can receive the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. If you're here today, I pray to God that you can do something about your salvation. The things that we said today are biblically based. You can read it for yourself. The plurality of scriptures that you were able to see for yourself, read for yourself, write down for yourself. Now you got to apply it. Every church is not the church of Christ. Some profess to be Christians that are not Christians because they lack understanding. That doesn't make you a bad person, but that makes you a person who now can see the opportunity that Christ has provided. Jesus Christ in Matthew 6 and 18 said, upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus has a church. Jesus never said, my church is. When you see the word church is plural in Scripture, it's talking about that one church that Jesus built in different locations, preaching the same thing. You won't see the word denomination in Scripture. Denomination means something that's divided. It's really a mathematical term. Jesus built one church, and it's not divided. And so if you want to be a member of the Lord's church, you must hear and believe what Jesus Christ has done. He died, he was buried, he rose again the third day. He didn't just die. Everybody dies. He died for our sins. But he also was buried. He got up with victory over death, hell, and the grave. And so if you're here today and you believe that with all your heart, are you willing to change your mind and just be a Christian? You won't see a Baptist church in Scripture. You won't see a Catholic church in Scripture. You won't see anything else in Scripture. It's not here. If the Pope is truly the Heavenly Father, wouldn't you think they'd have at least the word Pope one time in here? And I'm not saying I've got a lot of friends that are Catholic, but it's not here. We have access to God through Jesus Christ, not a man in a box. Facts. But let me close, because we're going to pick up another. We may even do it as a workshop on denominationalism, just to help everybody out. Strengthen our faith. Repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of the living God, and be immersed in water. You're baptized, added to the body, the church of Christ, Acts 2 and verse 47. You don't join the church, you're added to it. I pray to God that we can stay full. Because when you're full, it's automatic to kneel. It's automatic to humble ourselves. May we be full of the right stuff. Get rid of all that toxicity. If you're empty today, it's time to be filled with the Word of God. You've been filled with the Word of God, I hope, trust, and pray, but you also need to be filled with the Spirit of God, which you receive after being baptized into Christ, Acts 2 and verse 38. A song has been selected. Thank you for your patience and your time. As we together stand, as we together sing, won't you come?